So last time when we opened this up, I think the topic heading was again the idea of blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And we talked about how, as we went through the lesson last time, we talked about that we showed from the scriptures that Jesus was pre-existent of the creation of the world, that he actually had a hand in creating the world with God the Father. That the mission of Jesus coming to this earth and living the life that he did and being a sacrifice for the sins was planned long before he ever stepped foot on the earth. We're told also that we were adopted, or that God has made us his children in Christ or through Christ. So again, all these blessings that we have, that as was stated here, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are in Christ. So everything goes through Christ. And we stopped last time as one of the blessings dealing with forgiveness of sins and redemption that only comes through Christ again. And let's turn, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll start in verse 18. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Again, the idea that all our spiritual blessings come through Christ, I think this says just about everything we've said up to this point in these few verses. Again, the fact that you were not redeemed with money, but through the blood of Christ, and that he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, so we know that he was pre-existent of the world, and who through him are believers in God. So again, all our access to God the Father comes through Christ. There is no other way to Christ. And Christ said that. There is no other way to heaven except through me. So all of our blessings, all of our spiritual blessings, have to go through Christ. There's only one way to go to God. And again, that's why he talks about the narrow way. There's only one way. It's not going to be through another faith like the Muslim faith or the Buddhist or however other things that are out there. It has to go through Jesus Christ. And anybody that denies Jesus Christ denies themselves the blessings that God the Father wants to give you.
The English Standard Version where it uses the word ransom, knowing that you were not ransomed. Somebody paid something for us. Somebody freed us from something that we could not free ourselves from.
Right.
And somebody owned us, or we owe them for that.
And that person is Jesus Christ, through whom all blessings flow. And that's the point that Paul is trying to get across to the Ephesians and also to us. Also in Ephesians chapter 1, as we finish this part up, one of the other blessings that comes through Christ is that the gospel has been made known to us. If you look at James chapter 4, verse 23, someone read that for me. Matthew
4:23.
4:23,
right?
Yes.
Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people.
Again, he's the one that started revealing the gospel. And again, if you look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, we'll start there. Jesus, this is where he is. He's teaching in Nazareth on the Sabbath. He says in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. It was planned for him to come to this world, to preach the gospel to the poor, to help us to see the state that we were in. In other words, the recovery of sight to the blind, blinded by the God, by the prince of the air, by Satan, blinded in that way spiritually. People walking around don't even know they're spiritually dead or dead. And he came to proclaim the good news. And what was the good news? That he was the one that the God's chosen one that was sent to die for the sins of the world. And that's why he says, "Today, this scripture's been fulfilled in your hearing. You're looking at it." All spiritual blessings come through Christ, including the gospel. John chapter 8 and verse 32. I'll start in verse 31. He says, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, 'If you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" And again, this truth is found in the gospel. Free from what? He answers that question, and if you go further down in verse 34. "He who commits sin is a slave of sin." The only way to be freed from our sins is through hearing the gospel, believing it, obeying it. And that's how our sins are going to be forgiven. And that's how you're going to be set free. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" And again, all this is through Christ. The gospel is about Christ. So these are the ways in which God has blessed us in every way. And if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, just to close this part of this lesson before we go to the next part. If you go to chapter 1, someone read verse 13.
"In whom you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit,
who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." I'm sorry, I didn't add the extra verse. This is how we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing that's in heaven. Those that have believed have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, with a view to redemption of God's own possession. In other words, we are God's people. We've been adopted to God through Christ, to the praise of his glory. So God will be glorified through eternity because of what Christ did. And we'll be praising him and thanking him for what he's done, and we should be all the time. But again, just the key to this, and I think that he starts this letter out. This is a reminder to us. This is who you are now. And this is what God has done for you. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and all that is through Christ. Remember that. We need to remember that in everything that we do. And as we look at as we look through the rest of this letter and look at the different topics that he brings up, keep that in mind as the overriding theme of all of this, that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, and that is all through Christ. Everything revolves around what Christ has done for us. And if you keep that in mind, I think it helps us with other things as well as we go through.
Without Christ, we're nothing.
Without Christ, there's no hope at all.
That's right.
So
he has all authority in the world and earth.
Right.
Both heaven and earth.
So today, what I hope to get into is we were made alive in Christ. And again, most of the beginning of this will be in Ephesians chapter 2. So, someone read the first two verses of chapter 2.
And you were made alive who were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience.
Okay. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean when he's talking about being dead here?
Separated from God.
I think that's.
So separated from God again. What is it that separates us from God? So, separated from God. Again, we're thinking spiritual terms. Turn to John chapter 8. Starting in verse 34, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does not remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." And also go down to verse 42. Someone read verses 42 through 47.
Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear the word?" Is that 40 you want me to go?
Through 47.
Through 47. Are you father of the devil and the lust of your father you will do? He was a murderer from the beginning, a bald dot in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When you speak a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of sin? And if you say the truth, why do you not believe me? Is that it?
So, again, as we look at that and think about what's being said here, I mean, one, we've all at some point been slaves of sin, dead in our sins, or separated from God by our trespasses, and he tells us who is the source of sin here?
Satan.
Okay. And he was telling these guys that he was talking to here, he says, that's who your father is. Okay? That's why you won't accept the truth, you deny the truth, even though it's right in your face. I'm doing all these miracles to prove that I am who I say I am, and you make a conscious decision to deny that, to deny the truth. And why is that? Because you can't tolerate the truth, because you're like your father, who can't tolerate it either, who's a liar, who's Satan. And when we're in our sin, whether we know it, whether we know that we are following Satan or not, the fact of the matter is that we're children of the devil when we're in our sin, before we come to God. Blinded by the God of this world, if you want to call him that. Spiritually blinded, not even knowing the state that we're in, thinking that all is well. Keep these things in mind as we look through this. Look in 2 Corinthians. Uh, chapter 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I'll read on. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now again, if people don't see the gospel when it's preached to them, it's because people have been blinded. They've stopped their ears up, they can't hear, they can't see. Don't want anything to do with it. And all you have to do is if you read what people write these days and you see what people are saying, there's a lot of people that are in that boat. That deny God, deny Christ, deny that there is anybody there. Okay? And we see the natural consequence of that in the world around us because of all the filth and hatred that we show towards each other. All these things are a result of us being blind and children of disobedience. And this is what happens. If you turn to Romans chapter 4. Verses 3 through 6. For what does the scripture say? Abraham has believed it. Righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Now, again, the idea of it's not something that we can do on our own. Again, this has to come from God. And this is not exactly the scripture I wanted you to look at. I think it's in Peter. Yes, this is it. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm sorry. Starting at verse 3. It says, "For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Now, I say that to remind you of this. When we say people have been blinded, people think that this course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousings, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries, they look at that and they say, "We're free to do these things. I'm free. I can do whatever I want to. I don't have anybody tell me what I'm going to do. I do exactly what I want. I'm free." That is, the fact of the matter is that is a lie. Not free. Again, what did Jesus say? If you sin, you're a slave to it. Now, so that's why there's people that kind of wonder, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time on Sunday for? You're going to church on Sunday. You know, there's all kinds of things you could do on Sunday. What are you doing? I'm free to do this. I'm free to do that. And like they said, in all this, they're surprised that you don't run with them into the same things that they're doing. I just can't understand it. Because they look at Christianity or look at our faith in Christ as something that holds us back from being able to live life to the fullest. I mean, that's how people look. Is that not how the world looks at this? This is just something holding you back. You can't go out and have all the fun that I'm having right now. It's because they've been blinded by the God of this world. And what they don't understand is that we're actually the people that are free, and they're the ones in sin's bondage. So it's all backwards. People looking at this all backwards. And so keep that in mind. A lot of times, I mean, we get frustrated, but again, in a lot of ways, these are people to be pitied. So, I mean, it's rather than being judgmental, being angry with them, these are people to be pitied. These are the people who need to hear the gospel. Have it explained to them. Listen, you think you're free, but you're not. You think that there's something that's keeping me from doing what I want to do, but there's not. I'm doing exactly what I want to do. I mean, when our minds are finally fashioned according to the gospel, we don't come here because, it shouldn't be out of, I'm just doing this because I have to on Sunday. It should be we want to serve God because we know what He's done for us. We're free to do what we want as well. So it's all about this, you know. Larry talked about this the last quarter, about this idea of the renewal of the mind. It's a change of mindset. So it's the idea of I don't come to worship God because I have to do it so much. It's because that's what I do. It's because I want to do this. Because God is due the worship that we're going to give Him today. And God is due us living our lives as living sacrifice for what He's done for us. We don't do those things because we necessarily, or God is forcing us to do it. I guess the commands are there, but when we have a love for God, if we love God the way that we're supposed to, with everything in us, then it's not a chore anymore. It's something that we want to do. And that's the mindset.
Brother Ray?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 10:25.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read that to you here. It said, not forsaking the assemblies of yourselves together in the manner of some is, but so exhort one another so much the more that you see the day approaching. We're supposed to go to church.
We're supposed to go to church, and it ought to be that we want to be here. And the point that is made right there is that we're here to exhort each other and to encourage each other to so that we have the right frame of mind all the time.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole point of us being here, is that we might be encouraged as we look at the scriptures. Yeah, this is the right thing to do. God has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want to serve Him. Not that I have to do it, I want to do it.
I'm the same way. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek you first the kingdom of heaven and all His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you.
Yeah, that's right. So I've got that written down on too. So, again, this idea of being separated from God, of being obedient to the devil, what it does to us, and then it also what I hope to, as we just looked at, what I hope we might see is that understand the mindset of people in the world, why they don't, you know, why is it they don't understand this. And again, it's this idea that they've been blinded. They think they're free when they're not. And they think that we're constrained, and we are constrained by the love of Christ. It's not just out of a sense of duty that we do these things. It's because we want.
Keep in mind, I think the greater danger, we know those of the world who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ are blinded. But after one becomes a child of God, the greater danger is being blinded again. 1 John deals with that in 1 John 2 and verse 19, when John says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Again, at one time, that they were in fellowship. And they were not. And, you know, scriptures deal in Peter about a dog returning to its vomit. You become blinded again, so
right.
There's the danger of that.
And I think that brings us back to one of the purposes for why we're here today is to exhort each other so that doesn't happen. It's not a one time thing that we come and we study and say, oh yeah, I believe that. You're like the seed that got put into the shallow soil. I mean, first time something goes wrong or you wither. So I mean, it's a continual work that we have to do to keep our minds right. And that means going to God's Word constantly.
If you drop over, if you will, to chapter 5 and verse 13 of 1 John, he continues, says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life and that you may continue.
Right.
So the idea of
exhortations, again. So we see that, we know that even when we were dead in our trespasses, Christ cared for us. So if you look at 1 John, since we're there, in verse 19, he said, we love because he first loved us. So we know that he loved Jesus and God loved us first. We go to Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So we know that Jesus died for us when we were enemies to Him. So while we were dead in our sins, while we were separated from God, while we were in rebellion to God, Jesus came to this world and died for our sins. So we did not have to be in rebellion to God anymore, that we could be reconciled to Him. So He made us alive, and again, we're talking in spiritual terms here. So, I mean, after I was baptized, I didn't breathe any better. I didn't run faster. I wasn't made, my flesh wasn't made immortal. Okay? So none of those things happened. And when I was spiritually dead, I didn't run any slower. I didn't, you know, so we're thinking about these in spiritual terms here. If you go to John chapter 6 and 63. We start thinking about how this happens. How was it that God made us alive? Someone read verse 63 for me.
It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life.
Okay.
Now, we're going to go through this, and I'm not going to have time to get through all of it today, but to start with, try to make sure we do a good job of this part of this, because this is important. Because people will say, I've been born again, the Spirit came miraculously upon me and operated on me and saved me. And I can tell you the moment that it happened. Okay. So here, in that verse, what is it that is Spirit in this verse? Words of Christ are spirit. Now, this is where this is how we say made alive in Christ. This is where this all starts at.
Through the words, that's right.
The words that He spoke are what's going to take us from a point of spiritual death to life.
Amen.
Okay.
Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Start in verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who has also made us adequate as servants of a pure, new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Again, he's talking about, you know, Paul here is talking about the fact that they are ministers or servants of a new covenant.
And what way? In what way were they ministers of the new covenant? What did they do? So he's saying we're not preachers of the letter of the law, for the letter kills. We're preachers of the Spirit, preachers of the gospel, which is what gives life. So again, the words of Christ, Christ equals Spirit. The Word, which is the words of Christ again, equals life. Okay? Turn to John chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and has passed out of death into life." Again. So,
death.
Holy Spirit doesn't have to come on to you miraculously for you to pass from death into life. In other words, you don't wake up one day and get a funny feeling and that's it. It comes from hearing the gospel preached, believing that is the gospel, and believing in Jesus Christ, being obedient to His Word, and you pass from death to life. There's nothing mystical about this in that way. Okay? As we think of mysticism. It's fairly straightforward. We'll stop here, but we're going to continue this thought on the next time. I think this part of this is important right here. Understanding how this works. Because there's a lot of confusion out there concerning this. And I think that the Scriptures will lay this out very clearly, how this works. How we've been given life, how we've been brought back from spiritual death to spiritual life. And I mean, the New Testament will tell us this over and over, how that's done. Any questions or comments about anything?
Well, Christ is a Spirit. He seeks us to worship. Worship Him in spirit and in truth.
That's true.
Done a good job, brother.